Welcome to Smutty Scriptures, the podcast where three best friends gather together to explore the holy texts of fantasy romance novels. I'm Head Priest Blue Cromwell, and I am joined by my sisters in sin, Cuttlefish and Purple Space Cat, to tell you all about our thoughts on this episode's sacred text. We have read Gothicana, I guess however you want to say it. We've done a complete read, and I think we all don't love it. So a little spoiler for going in further into the episode. We have read this to the end. So general thoughts? We've kind of gotten into some over the last week, but curious to see where we all land.
I'm very disappointed because I wanted so bad to like it and I tried so hard to like it.
Yeah.
I just don't.
No, me too.
It was really disappointing. I don't know. I love a lot of things, mm-hmm. but I hate so many things.
Yeah, I'm going to say dude, I don't know. I don't want to be this harsh, but at the same time, like, realistically, this is like a 1 out of 5. And then this is like coming from the resident goth of the Smutty Scriptures gang. If anything, stylistically, world-wise, I should be eating this up. I did not. In fact, I will probably try to return this book because I don't want to keep it. It's a fun memory, but I don't need to keep it, especially because... I don't know if we want to jump into this early, but the cover is AI art. And I thought at least maybe I could keep it for the cover. But after looking at that and the very stock image side of it at all and the writing, I just don't think this personally, this doesn't belong on my bookshelf. So sorry if this is a book that you absolutely loved, but it's honestly not a holy text.
It is not.
It is an unholy text, if you will.
I love that the pages are purple.
I did like that. I thought that was fun.
And I absolutely love how all of this is picture mm-hmm. Stuff in the beginning of the chapter. How it's got that really pretty pitch. I know it's probably just stock image. I don't care. It's pretty. And I love that there's like little quotes, but I feel like that might be like a little cop out.
I didn't like the quote.
I didn't like the quotes either.
No, not those specific ones. I'm saying I like that there are quotes. I was thinking maybe it might be cooler if it was maybe in reference to like lore in the book. That would be even better. Mm-hmm. We love a map. I hate this map. Mm-hmm. But I love having maps. That's good.
I feel like you're just grasping at literally anything to be like, I liked the title. There's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. We don't see the dog until
very end, the epilogue, really, if you will, which did not need, by the way, but fine.
Not need.
Great. Love it.
I needed it. It saved it a little because there was a dog.
Oh my gosh. You and animals, man.
I just think that it's a good thing to have.
Sure.
Listen, I just felt like you've got the titles of the chapters.
They were titled?
No. Like with the title, like the font. Right? Oh. And who's this part? And I love this.
Me too.
This picture drove me crazy because I don't know if you guys looked, but it's actually upside down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying to ignore that.
I thought it was the reflection in the lake or something.
I just think they thought it was clever.
That's also, I'm probably giving them too much credit. Now that you say that, yeah.
But I just, you had such a wonderful opportunity to add lore to the book right here, and you just didn't. You used other people's stuff, and what's worse is it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply to the context of the chapters or the books. It didn't add anything. It's frustrating. that part was very frustrating.
That at the beginning of that chapter, like the first page, the font is a completely different size. So I was like, oh wow, this is actually big text. And then I flipped it. I'm like, the fuck happened? I actually was like, wait, what is wrong with my brain for a minute? And then I was like, flipping back and forth. I was like, okay.
Yeah,
choices were made.
I didn't mind that. I thought at least like there was some stylistic element of it, but it just came off so like I don't know, like disingenuous, gimmicky. Like, yeah, it was just very, yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. It was definitely very much a gimmick. And not to say that I'm the fucking, you know, expert, like, yes, I do consider myself alternative. Yes, I listen to goth music. Yes, I dress in that style. You know, that's very much a subculture that I live in, right? So there's that, though, coming from that point of reference. But that being said, I'm not the expert. I'm not here to gatekeep. I'm not here to do whatever. But it felt very much like, like the Edgar Allan Poe quotes and the this and the crows and the blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, it actually made me want to appreciate From Blood and Ash a little bit more, because I thought that was really well done, like gothic kind of, yeah, world building. I don't think I appreciated that enough at the time, because I was like reading this and I was like, man, they're trying so hard. They're fumbling. They're fucking fumbling. So... made me appreciate more stories like that, at least in the essence of setting, because it is a harder thing to nail down. But even in style choices, it's just not.
I know I told you both already, but I feel like what happened, a way that I could sum this book up, is when the author was writing it, the author was so excited about the plot. The author was so proud of their plot twists and their, like, their stuff. And obviously, you can tell that they have read, like, Sarah J. Maas and have all the kinds of things in there because of certain parts that were super cringy that I'll bring up later. But she was so excited to have this novel go the way. But she was terrified that the readers wouldn't see the nuances in the plot that she was writing. Mm-hmm. So she, instead of letting the readers come to the conclusion themselves, she spoiled her own plot over and over and over again because she was so excited. She would set something up and be like, oh, here's the answer. And it just was like, but I'm not Selena. I can figure out a puzzle. I promise. Listen. Just like, stop telling me the answer.
She got better. She got smart later.
No. I just, yeah. Like, I'm not Pharaoh. Okay, I can solve a riddle. But I mean, like the first two, for example, the first section, right when the book fucking starts, you're going to find many things old Zelda spoke over his friend. Page 2, purple eyes. You will find purple eyes. Not even 2 pages later. Mm-hmm. Girl with purple eyes. Okay, so there's her. Your main character. There's your love interest, heads up, they get married. They, you know, gosh. Page 2. Come on. Page 2? You couldn't give me 2 pages?
And that's the thing that pisses me off. If you're going to lay it on that thick, that's one thing, okay? That's I can almost accept it, right? Like, it's not an automatic 1 out of 5. I'm already kind of starting out in 3 out of 5 territory at best, though, right? But my thing is, like, okay, so you have this, like, setup of this almost like fate, like almost like this, you will find this, blah, 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 this, yada, yada, this. And we know that this teacher was sleeping with other people and students, but knew of her, like he had found her mother and knew her and had seen her in the hospital.
Which we will bring that up later, by the way.
Yes, there's a lot to unpack with that whole scenario. Yeah. But he knows of her. And, like, even was the one, he says that he extended the invite for her to come to, you know, the university, like, whatever. Like, he sent that out. That's been their whole, like, dynamic, right? But, like, clearly he's, like, fucking other people. He's having, like, threesomes. He's doing whatever. So if you're trying to play off, like, a faded or even, like, a forbidden romance, give me a little bit of forbidden and give me a little bit of fate then. Like, I don't know. Like, play it up. Like, okay. Like, I'm very in for, you know, faded lovers or, like, this interest. Like, ever since I saw you from that point on, I had no interactions with anyone else at, like, the school. Yep. Because I couldn't stop thinking about you. Like, give me that level of, like, obsession. Like, you are my madness, this, blah, blah. Give me that fucking for real, then, if you're really going to do it.
Yeah. He really just wanted one thing, and that was her
virginity.
You know. Well, that, yeah. And that's all he really wanted was that. And what the fuck was that quote? You picked the wrong one?
Yeah, you picked the wrong person and give your first time to or whatever.
No. Ew,
gross predator teacher that's been fucking student. You're gross. You're gross, dude. It gave me the ick for real.
I wanted so bad to like him. I really did.
I wanted to like them
just
both.
Don't.
And I think I don't like either one of them. I really don't. But I mean, at least in the effort of trying to remain positive, do we have like a favorite part? Do we like anything about it? We can go into least favorite, I'm sure, for a while, but let's at least lay on something positive. Try to anyway.
So in our text on page 149, if you have the hardcover version, I absolutely love that right there. While they're like, she's like, Mo, the fuck is Mo? I died laughing. It's not great that you're having an, you know, like, oh my God, sexy. And I'm over here laughing my ass off. But just because I'm an adult, I've had some people in my life, and I know the kind of dude. And just picturing, if you will, being in a car like this in a situation with I'm going to go out on a limb and call it a man. And crazy. They're all like, ugh, I'm broody and bad, and I'm totally a bad guy, but I'm going to have sex with you because I'm a really bad boy, blah. And then she's like, what? Oh my God. Mo? I died. Laughing.
Instant flaccid.
Instant, bro.
And then she's like, oh, it's nobody. So then he aggressively punched his cock inside her. And I was like, oh my God, Mo. Timing. Mo.
I don't understand that scene. Because like, yeah, like, I mean, I understand it, like, because we get her perspective, but, like, imagine being in that scenario. You've just been told this person's a virgin, like, they've never had sex before. They're talking about another man's name, hypothetically, during sex. Like, what the fuck is happening? Like, literally, what is happening? And then you're like, I know what I could do. Be even rougher. Huh?
Yes.
Huh?
It's like, not. Brother, ugh.
Literally, dude, it pisses me off. I hate their dynamic. I hate all of it.
I wanted to like it. I wanted to think like it too. Ooh, okay, like getting spicy, like okay, I can no. It fell so far from reality, and not saying that it has to be close to reality for me to enjoy it, because of course not, but
yeah, we've read a lot of fantasy. I don't fantasize about this.
Car sex, not good.
No.
Car sex to lose your virginity to a man that says you pick the wrong person and then, like, is super rough and terrible.
But if you're thinking about it from his perspective, when I was a kid, this lady said that I would have this girl with purple eyes that I knew and stalked for decades. Mm-hmm. I put her in the school that I work at, that I by the way, own. And I'm going to take her down a mountain, get her on her own. Oh, God, it's raining. Guess I'll just fuck her.
Surprise.
What? That's not healthy.
That work. No. And like, that makes me gross with like, because he had slept with another student. And like, yeah. Like, what was their scenario? Like, it just feels really predatory. Like, I put you in this scenario and like, we're stuck here. We are. Obviously, like, she consented to this. She wanted him. But at the same time, it's just a really gross scenario. And again, just does not give to the whole forbidden, like, I'm hooking up with this person that I shouldn't be. Yeah, maybe he shouldn't be because he's like gross. Like maybe this isn't like a forbidden, like, oh, he's in a powerful position or he's this or blah blah. Maybe it's just like, maybe just like don't do it because find someone else.
I don't mind the obsessive. I like the obsessiveness. I liked the madness stuff. Exactly. That's the point, is I feel like the author wrote it more predatory and less obsession in the beginning, and then it shifted to obsession. But I feel like if it was obsession, like give us a chapter in his point of view where he's like up late at night and like maybe he masturbates to her thoughts of class or something, you know, give me something like that ahead of time. So I know that he's like, he can't get her out of his mind instead of just some cheesy fucking lines in a car in the rain.
Yeah.
Or
at least give me like, okay, maybe he didn't sleep with this other student, because I know that sets up a whole plot point later on with this whole murder and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, maybe make her like his star student and like somebody he has a connection to, but he denies it ever being sexual and never whatever, like, and like nothing
but
ever
like,
happened.
Just like a rumor.
Yeah, like, yeah. Maybe a rumor, like, you could tell she was into him, but he was more like, I really support you, like, not like a teacher's pet scenario, but like, you know, just some teachers and students bond in different ways, right? But like, it would be clear that he was not interested. So then you're like, oh, he really is breaking the rules for me. And then you can still have your whole plot point with her later on and how, like, she was killed to advance the plot and everything. So you can eliminate that. You can say, and he can even deny it by being like, I saw you in the hospital. I was obsessed with you. Purple eyes, yada, yada. And I knew I would never touch another woman until I had you. Boom. You just fixed three problems I just had. You just fixed the fact she was gross with another student. You just layered on the obsession shit really quick. You got rid of the weird predator. Why is this teacher fucking around with a bunch of students and like a bunch of people? Like, it fixed everything. The simplest plot device.
And if he is obsessed with her, which is what I believe the author is trying to go for, why is he pushing her away? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is the word choice in that scene? We're just going to do this once and you pick the wrong one and I'm too broody and moody for you. It doesn't make sense to then flip to full on obsession. Yeah. I feel like we need just a little bit of a perspective shift. We needed more, again, maybe like some kind of obsessive scene beforehand. Yeah. All of the plot things that you just said. And honestly, I feel like that would have been more compelling.
Yeah.
Or her roommate to have killed the other girl over a rumor, not even like the truth, just the whisper of something. And if that's true, why did she not kill the other teacher?
I guess it was on her list, her to-do list, maybe.
Yeah, to-do list.
She is busy.
To murder list. She's got
stuff going on.
Yeah.
Maybe now, she didn't have enough tree drug to kill grave everybody.
Yeah.
Sounds like she had enough.
Look, I just work here.
I did like a lot of the core things. I know I might be alone in this from a lot of people, but I do feel like it has good bones. It could have been more compelling. It could have been really hot and exciting and whatever. But I feel like the author just didn't really know where they wanted to go. But the one thing that I think the author did well was the parts where they talked about some things, and our bully texts are not foreign to, or our mental health things are not foreign to a lot of these kinds of books.
Sure.
But I feel like the way that Runix did the conversations about certain things in the mental health world, I think went really well. So for example, on page 190, talking about human contact being a precious thing, only people who have been starved of touch knew the value of it, knew never to take it for granted, especially something so intimate as sleeping beside someone. If you are someone who has felt that, mm-hmm. like that made me feel really seen, because that's not really a part that I feel like a lot of media and I don't know, booky kind of things or movies or whatever talk about. They're more about the big flashy stuff, and that's definitely in there. But getting to some of the more like actual pain things that we don't necessarily feel all the time or see all the time, but are no less there and are no less painful, I think was really, really nice for her to explain, like, the human touch, the abandonment, and the way that she discussed it. I feel like that was really good.
Yeah, I would go on to say, like, because I don't want to, like, refute that point fully or anything, but I feel like when it comes to maybe more than, like that is a sentiment I haven't read in a lot of books, and I do think that is something to mention, but I think when it goes into, like, a deeper element of, like, mental health in general, it's just, it's a flaw. Like, there are so many moments. For example, one that I picked out, this is pretty early, page 56. I think we all hate this. From what Jade had told her, Roy had come from a really shitty foster home. She had been sexually assaulted, and it had hardened her and made her into a bitch.
Agreed.
Weird thing to say. Weird thing to say. But I was like, okay. But there's some other one. There's some other lines I didn't like. One of the ones I tagged too is on 275, and this is also in the hardcover edition as well. And she actually expresses the fact that she has these fears, which she says, and if one day I become like my mama, which, first of all, don't say mama, you're grown. At least switch it up. Say mom sometimes, like, please. But fine. And she,
woman
she
who birthed me.
Mama, like, girl, okay. Minigo, she whispered the deepest, darkest fear in her heart. That's a cool, like, vulnerability to show. But his response to it, you won't. Your mother didn't have anyone. Huh? That she raised you as she did is a miracle in itself, but you have me. Girl, are you going to keep her from schizophrenia? That is not how that works. Like, did he just say his dick is magic? Like, I don't understand.
Maybe.
Like hello?
Do you believe in magic in this guy's pants?
Oh, my God. Like, I hated that. And, like, as someone, like, a lot of my family has diagnosed, like, paranoid schizophrenia. Like, this was a topic that, like, it's not a mental health diagnosis that I'm unfamiliar with. So the idea of, like, telling someone who has these, like, fears and your element of, like, comforting her is, like, well, your mom didn't have anyone. Girl, that's not why she has schizophrenia. That is not why that happened. So
that's not how that works.
I just felt like in some topics, like, I think there were little moments like that. Like, I do agree with you on the point that you mentioned. But there's just a couple moments like that where it's like,
huh? It wasn't perfectly executed.
Right. She let me
down. I like that they tried. They really tried.
I'm even willing to admit a little bit of bias. Like, I have also been assaulted before. So the fact that I had to read that this character had hypothetically had experienced that and it had made her a bitch to anyone that didn't fit in, that was a weird thing. So maybe that's also partially coming from, like, my wounds as a person. But girl, what the fuck? Girl, hello? That was wild. That was an absolute, like, that was just, like, out of pocket. Like, I was truly, like, you could find any other reason why, like, even just say she was in a shitty foster home, she grew up rough, she doesn't know how to talk to people. Like, okay, even that, I'd maybe, like, want to unpack a little bit, but, like, the fact you had to bring that into it, girl, shut up.
I always love when books try stuff. I love when you try things, and I love being brave and bold. And I love not shying away from hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely fucking loved that. And this is going to sound really bad if you take it out of context. But I love that the guy killed himself.
Okay.
I love that he walked off the... I love that he walked off the... No! I didn't want him to die. I love that she killed somebody that meant something to somebody. That she did something that, like, this is the first book that I have ever read where somebody literally just walked off the roof. I have not, and it happened. It's not like, they talked down the last second, or like, we're just gonna not talk about it. No, we talk about it. No, we talk about how there's blood and then there's people. We see the shock. We see, you know, people having hard times later. Like, we go through all of it. I'm like, okay. I mean, is it perfect? No. But I love that you did it. Just like we talked about. I mean, again, it's not perfect. But I love talking about protection. And I love talking about STDs. I think that you should always talk about that stuff. In real life, especially. I feel like that needs to be normalized. I know it kind of takes you out the moment, but you can do it in a sexy way.
Yeah.
You can make that sexy. Is it sexy here?
No.
No.
But it's in here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that you do the things. Maybe, I mean, just you got to do it better. But don't not do the things.
So it makes me feel like a kid wrote it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it, very immature. It's,
I didn't say they did it good.
No, I know. But that's kind of the thing, is like, it feels like a high school student has turned it in for their final project.
Yeah.
No.
Like, that's,
I have seen that writing. No. Like, I would give them an A.
But that's kind of how it feels to me. And that's not, and I have seen all over TikTok people talking about, like, the Adam's apple comment. And so, like, just some weird shit that the girl comments on. I'm not going to go into that because I feel like it's already been overstated, but it is true. Like, it's just the writing is really, really immature for me, as I would put this as YA, as long as some of the sex scenes were tapered back a little bit. It's a YA book with some spicier romance scenes. That's That's what it is.
Dude, they low-key almost had a fucking orgy. I was like, yes. And they were all like, we're gonna go somewhere else because plot. And I was like, no. Why?
Yeah.
This book was about to pay off.
Yeah, like this would almost be written by like an older, like 18, 19 to maybe early 20s like person. Mm-hmm. But the one line that like really, like this is early on, but it made me feel like it had that element of like YA or even like a teenager writing it, I guess. It's really early, page 16. Again, hardcover copy.
Page 2. Sorry.
I just read this paragraph and I was like, I feel like I've never read something that like encapsulated the experience of being a teenager, which I know our character is 21. So that's interesting. But anyway, it says Corvina's talking about romance here. This is at the very bottom. It says Corvina wanted that. She wanted to belong, to be loved, to be absolutely adored, no matter what happened, despite her past. First of all, grammatically, the sentence is a lot. She craved it so badly in her bones, some days she thought she would die from the sheer hunger of it. There was a gnawing ache in her soul, and she desired so, so deeply. And I was just like, damn, that reminds me of being like a horny teenager who like needed validation, yeah. who wanted affection and like attention so fucking bad. Just that she would die from the sheer hunger of it. Like that just screams teenager to me. And I like had to go back because I was still early. I was like, she's 21. I was like, I don't know if that's but, right.
I feel like she's physically 21. But if you remember, I feel like the author's trying to get away with the upbringing being weird or different mm-hmm. and that she yeah. wasn't socialized. So she's like an unsocialized puppy.
But then like pick an age because she's like 8 years old every time she says mama. That's very teenager like. Like there's...
I just got away with it because in my brain, every time the word mama popped up, I just went, all right, deep south. I just took a dive into deep south. And then I'm like, all right, now we're back up here where we're not in the south. I just went down to the bayou for mm-hmm. like a word just so that way I could be like, all right, that's not weird.
Mm-hmm.
Her childhood. Let's talk about that.
Uh-huh.
So her mom's got some issues.
Yes.
What?
Her mom is neglectful.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, 100%. It's abuse.
Yeah, but we don't really talk about that.
It's fine. It's got some long-lasting implications in Corvina, but it's mentioned later on that her dad was also in a similar situation. And in order to save his family, he unalived himself.
Uh-huh.
And then mom just stopped talking.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she was explaining like one or two things every once in a while. But the girl went without conversation on a daily basis for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I just question the validity of that upbringing. It just screams to me, and so many things in this book do. I didn't do research before I wrote it. Because if you have that situation and you look at children or adults who as children were significantly neglected.
And that level of isolation too.
And that level of isolation. They are not okay. And they are not capable of being so, or the situation, well adjusted as Corvina is.
Yeah, with zero,
it's not,
zero therapy, it zero not, aid. Yeah.
It is not believable at all that was even a thing that happened. Furthermore, another example I have before I didn't do my research, and this is the part that I was going to bring up, page 315. And as someone who is very interested in science and all things biology and all those things, this shook me. I really sat up and was like, what the actual fuck?
Uh-huh.
At the very top, from the decomposition, I'd estimate she died anywhere in the last 5 years, up to the last few months. No.
Makes sense to me.
My science is telling me that they're dead.
Yeah, no. She's dead as fuck. She definitely died at some point.
It's Google search.
Right, you decomposition of a body that's like 2 years old? What's she doing?
Listen, there is absolutely no way you can convince me that the author did any bit of research in that. There is no fucking way that a body, even if it was burned beyond recognition,
only is one happening
is between 5 months and 5 years. No, no fucking way. That shit pissed me off so much. I was so angry. And there's other pieces too where it's like the author just didn't. I wanted her to fully commit. Like, commit. If you're going to write the book, commit to the damn book. Mm-hmm. Commit to the plot and commit to giving us this epic story of like gothic. Like, you went with it with the castle.
Yeah.
Go with it with the story.
No.
Instead, you gave us 90s witch. You gave us 90s witch, but she's not a witch, but she does witchy things, but she's more gothic.
Well, but that's actually one thing I wanted to talk about, too, because I am some form of pagan, neo-pagan. I'm considering myself like an Irish folk practitioner. That's neither here nor there. However, I don't like love the media's response to like witches and like, yeah, you know, I get it. But I don't hold it against like a book or a movie when they're like, oh, this evil witch did this. Like, okay, slay. That's fine. Like, I can separate myself from a plot very easily in that regard. But it was so annoying how like one of the main evil like people in the story is a witch. And they like talk about this and blah, 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 like all this witch stuff, blah, blah, blah. And she was
the one with the tree.
Like, mm-hmm. That's her whole plot line. Yeah, yeah. And then Corvina does all these, like, you know, quote unquote, like witchy things, the tarot cards, the whatever. She does her little things.
The sage and the herbs and the mom did rituals and stuff and taught her rituals.
Yeah, but they don't really go into that. And they very are careful about, like, they'll call her, like, oh, little witch. It's like a cute, like, little nickname or something.
It is. It's adorable.
Yeah,
I do like it.
It's cute. Then it would appreciate, like, show me, like, different kinds of magic or show me, like, different thought processes of, you know, because if you are of any of those beliefs, then there are differences between the types of witches or people that you would interact with. Like, there are, you know, evil things that people can do regardless of their religion. So, like, play into that. Like, have her be like, oh, this fucking, like, given a bad name to me, bro, or like, I don't know, give me something, or at least like tie her to being a witch and not just like this aesthetic. I love my tarot cards, like, bitch, shut up.
You know what happened? I'm willing to bet I know exactly what happened.
What?
I am willing to bet the author watched a specific movie. It's definitely a millennial movie. Mm-hmm. It was with the two sisters who were witches. The man cheated on Nicole Kidman and they killed him.
Practical magic?
That's it. Practical fucking magic. It's got the vibes. It's like the witchy things. And it's she watched practical magic and then wrote the book.
Oh no. I hate that for me so much.
It's a good movie. I feel like it's very 90s.
Yeah, well, which it also, like, how Corvina dresses. Let's talk about that.
If you just take, like, your basic bitch white girl, like the, you know, I got a little bit of that in me. Don't judge. But if you take the basic bitch white girl and you take her opinion of what somebody who is, like, pagan is like,
mm-hmm.
and then you put it on paper, that's what this is. Not that the author is basic bitch white girl, but I feel like it went through that lens.
Yeah, it almost felt like they wanted the aesthetic.
Yeah.
But they wrote it for basic bitch white girl, not that they are.
I loved the aesthetic. I loved the grounds of the castle. I love this spiritual spooky vibe. I love the fucking ghost shit. I was so pissed off with the gaping fucking plot holes that we just drive buses through. They're so big. Mm-hmm. And we don't talk about it. Drives me crazy. And that is one of them. And it's so disappointing. Okay, I gotta calm down. I'm getting a little worked up.
As we should. What the fuck did I just read?
It's not coffee in the coffee mug. Okay, the wine is getting.
I'm just out here, no hold barred. Like, I'm just, I ain't even.
Slay.
Pretending. This is my bottle of wine.
Well, since I'm a witch, this is actually the blood of my enemies that I ritualistically sacrificed in the woods.
That's like
Nesta.
You eat, like, spinach and artichoke dip. You know, the artichoke hearts? That's the hearts of your enemies.
good.
Vegetables, you know what I mean?
I understand that we're like, I don't know. Does she hear? I mean, she hears voices, but like, is it ghosts? Is it not ghosts? I don't know. I fucking hate that.
I liked it though.
Page 229, where a random voice pops into her head for the first time. What if he's evil? What? Like, we just, it's fine. Fine. And then the author's just like, yeah, that's like a thing. We need to talk about it. You talk about everything else. You give us all the plot points for everything else. Why are we not talking about this? And then she comes in at the end and it's that like Mo versus the other voice.
Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. Where is that even coming from? Why is that even a thing? Why has that voice not been present throughout the whole time? And you can't tell, I'm sorry, but you cannot tell me that that is because of a psychotic break or because of the schizophrenia is becoming worse. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Plus, they don't want to commit to the fact that, like, is she experiencing a genuine mental disorder that affects people? Or is she, like, a psychic in tune with the universe, talk to ghosts? I hate how that's constantly, like, it goes back and forth. They never commit to either one. It's her biggest fear, but she's had testing. Don't worry, she's fine. But also, like, the ghost?
But is she?
It's the drugs. And I'm like, bro, shut the fuck up.
I liked it in the fact that, not like it in and of itself, but I loved where it added into like the murder mystery. I feel like I really need more murder mystery.
Cause, like, see, I hated that.
Den of Vipers. I was like, okay, yeah, sex, but like the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So see, I was like, yeah, sex, but like the dead people.
Yeah, they're talking.
I was super like, I bet those dead people are in the water. I bet they're in the water. And I know that was like a really, because she threw it at you. But before she even threw it at you, I was like, there's going to be water somewhere. They're going to be in water.
Yeah.
That's always where the dead people are.
It's cool. The dead people have been there between 5 months and 15 years.
Uh-huh. You know, it's.
Yeah.
Not
we had a
clear.
Ton of murders over there, but they actually never even checked the lake, even though like it's a walking distance away because we walk back and forth between these places.
And don't according worry, to the but, map, it's right there.
It's right fucking there.
Right there.
Look at
somewhere,
it.
Somewhere between 1 and 500 people are dead. It's, you know, it's fine.
Dude, it's so disappointing. And like, you could still tie it in. Like, I'm not even saying like don't have these elements in your story, but then like, you know how fucking cool it would have been and how powerful it would have been if it was something along the lines of like, maybe even combine them, maybe being like, I do have this connection, I was right about certain things, like I do have this like understanding or this ability to communicate to the other side, and either like have her focus less on the fact that there's a possible like mental issue, or combine them and have her be like, I have this ability, I might also have this like mental illness, and that doesn't make me any fucking less. And maybe it does make it more confusing, but I don't have to be afraid of like, because she's right over and over and over again, because of course she has to, because she's the whole plot. But like, okay, then gain some confidence, or at least gain a distinction of like, these are like real symptoms I have, and this is, and maybe even use it as your fucking thing of like, this is maybe what has opened my mind to the idea that allows me to be open to these other frequencies in the universe. Like, maybe that's something that like you can explore. Like, you can always spin, I don't want to say you can always spin, but mental illness wise, like, I appreciate the fact that I have depression. I appreciate the fact that I have anxiety. It makes me more aware. Mm-hmm. It makes me appreciate things more. I know exactly what it feels like to go through a slump or to have a fucking breakdown and want to die. But also at the same time, I think my depression makes me so grateful for, like, life. And it brings me a new sense of joy. Obviously, I'm in very good control. I'm in medicine. I'm chilling. But you can have
today.
Both. Like, you can have both. I'm a very spiritual person. I'm not worried about fucking psychosis. Like... maybe I should be, but it's just like, it's just stupid how they don't ever, like, it's just like being a schizophrenic person is the worst thing that could ever happen to this girl, and I hate that messaging. I think that's really gross, and I think that's like really inappropriate, and I just combine them. If you're gonna have a spiritual baddie and also she has a mental illness, okay, combine them. Okay, make her a fucking icon. Really research the disease, like really research what that is, what that feels like. Make a clear distinction between a fucking ghost and an episode. Like, make that a journey for the character. Do something. Do something.
Exactly. And I can't help but make the. Do you know who did this really well? Who did this really fucking well?
Senua's Sacrifice.
They really did. If you go back and you look at the game, because they did like a whole little documentary on how they made the game.
Oh, good. So fucking good.
And it was awesome to see. And that game was fucking psychologically terrifying. But if you go through and you watch, they brought in people and like had a lot of consultations with people that were experiencing the things that the character goes through. So that way they could make it as real to the reality of the people who suffer from it as possible. And that, to me, was the best possible way that they could have made that.
So good.
And I just don't understand why, if you're going to have this kind of stuff in your books, and it's not just this author, it's all media. If you have these kinds of things, you have that at your disposal. You can do research to make this that much more powerful.
Yeah.
And like, there's got to be so much videos on fucking YouTube of people talking about their experiences. You could look all kind, like, why not pull in and talk to people that, you know, are like the witchy kind of stuff, and like maybe the ones that do like the paranormal thing. Like, pull them in and talk, just fucking talk to them.
It's that easy.
That shit.
It's talk that easy. To them.
Ask them to read and say, what could I do differently? Or is this accurate to you? Mm-hmm. Does this reflect your reality? What ways could it be different? How can I improve this to make it more realistic? And I recognize I don't even know what year this is supposed to be. We're in the middle of a gothic castle in the fucking mountains. We're with a guy whose name literally sounds like a vampire. I get it.
Yeah.
We're not in real reality. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean, as an author or as a producer of some kind of content, that you can't put forth a little more effort into making what you produce as like thoroughly researched as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a way to do things with a certain level of respect or a certain level of, you know, not to say you could never make a mistake, you could never write something in a way that people don't agree with, yada, yada, things like that are always going to happen. But I do feel like there was very little research there in terms of what that mental illness looks like.
Well, I think that's where a lot of the issues stem from. Mm-hmm. Would you agree, Purple, that it's like, if they knew more about the thing, that all of the pieces that we kind of struggle with, that's why it sounds immature.
Mm-hmm. I think the closest they came to doing a better job about one of these big Dumaflatches, mm-hmm, is with the dude walking off the building and how people reacted to it. Because if you have known somebody who has maybe not literally walked off a building and face planted, but like who has past tensed in a way that is shocking, it does hit different people differently. Mm-hmm. It hits you at different times, and I feel like we don't see a lot of it, but we see some of the different ways people are grieving, and that's awesome. I love that representation where we see different types of grief in different ways from different people, and the fact that it didn't just freak people out for 5 minutes and it was clean, and it was just like, oh, well, I have a test tomorrow.
You mean like how Harry Potter would have made it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I love that we touched more on that. I love that. Mm-hmm. And I love that we actually had somebody do something and we saw a little bit of it. I mean, we didn't talk about brain splattering or anything like that. I understand. Would I have liked graphic? Yeah, but that's a me thing. And I'm like, I'm weird. I'm out there in left field. I'm the whole bottle of wine kind of person. But the parts that we did see, I do feel that we saw enough of the unaliving. I just wish there was more of the aftermath. We saw some, but I would like more.
Yeah.
To actually reflect more of the aftershock experiences of the other people. Because then they're, after a while, they were like, I mean, yeah, it's not the first time, so
This should happen last year. About that. Anyway.
Yeah. Damn. Somebody should probably do something about that.
Yeah. I hope no one was closely related to both of those two people and spent all their time together, and almost every time they appear in the story were always mentioned together. Gosh, that'd be really crazy if anyone looked into that. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
I wish we had more from the brother, because I feel like he didn't have anything. I feel like he was just a name on a page.
Yeah, it would have been maybe interesting to get more of an emotional reaction. I do like the focus on like the scene where Corvina's talking about how they still have to do laundry. All the little things after someone passes that you're thrown out of a loop, that you're normal life is still happening all around you. All of that's very good.
I love that. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Would be
more.
Really nice to see the school do something as well, or say something.
Yes.
Or
I want to see people be fucked up emotionally.
Send them to therapy.
I want to see the headmaster or whatever. Have a difficult or have a passionate conversation in a hallway with another teacher, and then show that they're have Corvina see, be an observer of this kind of stuff too. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other thing, is you can't tell me she wouldn't be an observer. And I feel like it's mentioned that she is, but then she doesn't observe things.
She observes bad.
She's not observant.
She says, oh my God, you play the piano. Oh my God. There's a piano in the woods. Is that your piano? Girl, shit. There's too many moments for me to even have a least favorite. But
I have a least.
Like the birds.
I guess.
And they were we like you. And
then
you
she just stopped feeding them. Nice. And then Bad was like, yeah, I kind of do it sometimes. Oh, okay. Cool.
It's not like they can't feed themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that it's supposed to add to the mysticism of her, this connection to these animals and I don't know.
I feel like they could have done so much more with that. Maybe they bring her little gift things, or maybe
a finger.
Yes.
A finger is crazy.
Yeah, maybe they bring her like a clue. And they're like, oh my God, is this mystical or is this real life? Because I am friends with the birds.
It's literally just added.
Shiny ring.
It's literally just added because she's like the author has to add this mystique to her and Vad's interest in her. I mean, oh my God, girl,
it's flavor text. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't piss me off.
I would have liked to have seen what closer to the end where we're kind of seeing, is she kind of spiraling? Is she not spiraling? You would have a bird talk to you. Have a bird talk to you. Have it.
Man, thanks for the banana.
The bird's you need to see a doctor, by the way.
Which, do crows eat bananas? I don't know if they, I don't know if they do or not. I thought that was weird.
Maybe they'll just Google it? Whatever.
I'll Google it. How's that?
Corvina knows best.
The thing that we didn't do a whole lot of.
Yeah, we'll Google it now for the author.
Right. Just do some backtracking research.
Crows eat bananas.
B. A-N-A-N-A-S.
Oh, they like it. Okay, cool.
Oh. Well, good for them.
She spent more time spending... Okay, what would Corvina have access to in the lunchroom? And then what would the birds eat?
Right.
Okay.
Because they're capable doesn't mean that it's their favorite.
The author will go through and then research that kind of thing. But then it's like, hey, should I portray people who've been sexually assaulted as bitches to everyone and terrible and don't fit in and maybe kill them in the book, kind of? And she's like, yeah, I don't see any problem.
I almost feel like it would have been not saying that I wish this for the character. Mm-hmm. But I almost feel like it would have been more realistic if Corvina had experienced some kind of sexual assault.
How? In the woods with no one? I mean,
well, she did go to the post office, right? Was it the post office or the library?
Yeah.
That would have added a level of makes sense that we see red flags but think they're green. Got it. Or just colorblind. We have some issues with all of these things, and we want to fill it with penises. Makes sense.
Dude, what if the only kind of books this chick had access to was Haunting Adeline? And she thought that was the pinnacle
that's how,
of romance.
That's how it works.
Like, mm-hmm. creepy, slightly abusive dude that likes me.
Ooh,
wait. Whoa, I've read about this.
My favorite.
Where's the mirror hole?
Go to therapy.
I would have almost liked it if they did therapy in, like, at the same time, like, throughout the book. And if she was talking to them about, like, the voices, and then they do, like, I don't know, is it because of this? Let's give you a scan while you're hearing about them. Let's look at what your brain's doing. And they're like, well, it's not this part of your brain. It's this part of your brain. And this part of your brain is, oh, but that probably would have taken too much Googling.
Yeah, can't do that. I
don't really see that shade.
Focus on them fucking on a piano instead. So, or a car.
Okay.
Can we talk about sex scenes?
I'm glad that you brought that one up.
Okay. Okay, good.
Because the one I think you're referring to is the worst, ickiest sex scene I have ever read.
Because you haven't started the book that I'm reading right now.
Oh,
let me distract you from your trauma while I eat you out. Now listen to me. Okay. Like, everybody...
I appreciate the gesture. I'm going to be honest.
Sure, you know, there's like...
Babe!
You know...
My schizophrenia is cured, actually.
Oh. Now we can just get my mom to fuck you. We'll be a happy family.
This is not Credence. Don't bring Credence into this season.
Ew. Leave it behind.
I like the fact that the author was like, quote, on 206, isn't that weird for this kind of conversation? So she knows that it's weird, but she does it anyways.
Just horny.
Maybe she got only halfway through Haunting Adeline. Maybe that was the last one she read.
I got the biggest ick. Like, I wanted to skip it.
I didn't like wanted to skip
there it. There is one sex scene worse for me. I've already really? Kind of dogged on, like, the virginity thing, because we all hate that. That's like,
I hate that trope. I fucking hate that trope so much.
Hate that so much. Easily could have written in that she had, like, a boyfriend in the town, and, like, maybe they, like, hooked up, and also maybe that's, like, how she has conversations that she can, like, kind of function. Whatever. Fine. Yep. Fine. She's a virgin. Of course she is. Whatever. Fine. There was a scene in here that gave me so much of an ick. If I wasn't reading this for the podcast, I would have DNF'd. I was genuinely that. Like,
is it on page 2?
No. I do have it here.
Sorry. Is it page 230? You'll walk to your tower with my cum inside you? That was the ick for me on that one, too.
That I don't hate.
That was weird.
That's
me.
A me thing. But that I don't hate. I hated page 252 because he's trying to tell her. She's like asking basically for instruction. She's like, teach me. And she's like, we're getting a fellatio kind of scene, which I'm always like, okay, cool. Like, I don't get enough of this in romance novels. I love this. So I'm getting ready. I'm like, ooh, okay. All right. A little finally, something for me. Yay. Yippee. And then it goes to, like, she's talking about how this is her sexual awakening. And she's discovering so much about herself through sexuality. And he tells her before she, like, grips his dick to rub her hands together to warm them up. Girl. Oh boy, girl, shut the fuck up. That pissed me off. What do you mean? What do you mean? Rub your hands together.
And not only that, guys, he's like,
rub your palms together. And she's like, this is a blowjob? I got it. Like, fine. Which I'm already have a problem with. And then it goes into, not only that, Corvina rubbed her palms together, blowing in them to warm them. So she's sitting there. Huh? No blowjobs for you, bro. There's no way. She literally is like, a bloat. Okay. Don't piss me off. Don't piss me off. Like,
okay, but
what
if
do
that,
you mean?
Okay, but if that had just not existed and he just said, fuck, he gripped or his grip tightened on her hair and that's where it stopped. And then it went on to the next section, grip me harder. Right. Okay. Sure. That whole thing. Would you have enjoyed the scene?
I'm going to say no, just on the basis of this is pretty like late into the book, so I'm already don't really like love these characters. I don't really love their dynamic. I don't love the fact. I don't think these scenes are bad, because I also have to assume, and this is no tea, no shade. Listen, we all come to books with our own levels of experience. I think that there are a lot of people who haven't experienced sex or more, at least like had a lot of experiences that do gravitate toward romance novels. I know I read romance novels well before I ever like was intimate with somebody. So the idea of a scene of someone being like, teach me this, I think that that's maybe just not for me at this age that I am. I'm like in my late 20s, like I've been there, done that. But I think that is like a turn on for some people or a level of comfortability. So I don't hate it, but it does nothing for me. Mm-hmm. Everything else I like, but they don't really describe it in a way that is
mature,
interesting to me. Like they go a lot into like, oh, like, and he's talking to her. She's like, oh, this is the first time you've initiated our encounter, blah, blah, blah. Like, are you testing me? Do you trust me? They're having a very intimate conversation while she's like, you know.
No, she's already touching him.
Right, right. So she's already midway. She's doing her thing. And then he's like, in you know, having all these questions, and that's fine. But they really don't talk much. Like, you get one paragraph. She spent the next few minutes licking and sucking him. Girl.
It's working.
Describe it.
And put they, it in the book. And they did.
And they did. And so he did. And so, she said, teach me. And so he did. Bitch, don't piss me off. Like, that just, like, the alternating between, like, I go into it, but it's no more than about, that is a paragraph of three sentences. That ain't enough. Not for me. Not for me to really enjoy a scene, because that is something that I look for in romance novels. So there's just a lot of elements that, like, no thank you. But I will always forever laugh of him telling, like, warm up your hands, and she's like, okay. And then she's like, all right, I'm ready. And then, you know, I get, you know, three sentences.
At least they didn't bust out,
it.
Like, those hand warmers.
I mean, is that not
or what they didn't do like that superstar thing with hands underneath the armpit?
Dumb, dude.
Oh my god.
That was my least favorite for that. I didn't love that at all. The virginity stuff earlier was pretty bad, but that almost takes the cake for me, because I just can't imagine initiating that type of sex scene and then, like, I don't know, like I just can't get that out of my head. I really can't. What about you, Purple? Do you have a least? Or yes. Favorite? You could have a favorite. I do want to hear about
it's
what you guys
do. I do have a favorite, too.
The same one.
Really?
The favorite and the least favorite is the same scene.
Interesting.
The orgy.
At the black ball?
I was like, yeah, no! I was so upset. I almost put the book down. I was like, you motherfucker, you got me all the way here. And then you're like, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking bitch. All right.
That was also crazy person. Of a scene. The whole thing was crazy, because that whole like black ball thing and the way everyone's acting. And I'm like, these are like students. Like, y'all are like letting them fuck. Y'all letting like people
adults.
Touch titties.
They're adults.
On school grounds at a school dance that you're listen, out here touching titties and fucking and... Huh? Out in public?
Just shh, it's okay. Okay. Just shh.
Listen, they don't there's obviously no guidance counselor on campus at all.
And if there was, they would be guiding students to their dick. Like, that is how the story is written. And I'm pissed.
There's not a single faculty member in that room.
No. And actually, they're also fucking.
Because he was there.
Right. The whole school. Uh-huh.
Which honestly, that would have made it so much more taboo, I think, if everybody knew. But that's what it is.
Yeah, he had to be secret and humble about his rich ass.
Okay. I wanted a fucking. I just don't feel like having an orgy that you set up and you promised me is too much.
Apparently, and
I feel like Runix. I'm gonna read. At least one more of these. I swear to God, you don't give me my fucking orgy, I'm gonna be sad. It's gonna be your fault. I want the damn orgy. Damn it.
What, maybe
I got
one day.
The dog. I got a dog. Now barely. I need the orgy. I'm a simple person. I just need the pets and I need orgies. Like, it just.
Do you need the pets to not be hurt?
Yeah, yes. I need them to be okay. If you hurt
my
times.
Pets, I swear to God. I swear to all the gods.
Damn.
In every book system.
Goofy.
So, yeah, that was my favorite and least favorite. I got so cock blocked. And it made me very sad. Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a favorite blue?
The end.
I did. Yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't very hot to me. The virginity thing, not the scenes, not like super bad. Like, some of them weren't written badly, but they definitely didn't really appeal to a lot of like my kinks. Like, there was a lot of like the what if we get caught? I don't have that kink. No shame to anyone who does. Like, I don't care. Public, whatever. That's fine. It doesn't do anything for me. If anything, I'm just more like, it has to be like a very specific scenario where I'm like, okay. Like, you in a masquerade mask at this point. No, I'm sorry. That doesn't do it for me. The piano stuff doesn't do it for me.
No, I feel like that was very... What's that movie? The... Fuck.
Pianist?
The one where No, it's the one where dude is all, like, fucking a hooker and then makes her into, like, a lady.
Pretty Woman?
Pretty Woman. It's very Pretty Woman.
Mm.
And I couldn't get that out of my head. And I was like, ew.
Well,
no.
My favorite's not really a sex scene. I mean, it starts off as one, but that's not really the part that I really like.
My favorite sex scene is not a...
It's an intimate scene.
Okay, I'll let it slide.
I really loved the bathtub.
Okay, I thought you were going to go there.
I really did. And listen, I love me some sex scenes. But I felt like this one was different. I felt like this section was, first of all, much more plausible and realistic. But this is whenever they do the castle piece for the first time. And I loved that. Where page 257, she's talking about, she says that she feels safe with him. And she's expressing some concerns. She says, I'm lost most days, sometimes in my head. Still trying to figure myself out every day, and it feels like every day the world keeps spinning around with something new and worse thrown into the mix. Okay, life, obviously, especially early 20s.
Yeah, sure.
Ouch.
I'm building my castle brick by brick in the middle of the storm, and I'm wondering if the mountain underneath my feet will crumble. Girl, I totally understand that feeling. That is a beautiful way to put it. And she says, you're my mountain, my vad, which I don't like that part, but it's fine.
Don't like the name. Never will.
I don't know how, and I don't understand why, but somehow I'm building my castle on you. Which, I understand where she's going with that. I don't particularly like that sentence, but that's okay. I can work with it.
We've all been there. Because we've all built our stability off of men in various times in our lives.
He responds, build your castle, Corvina. I'm not moving anywhere. Build your castle as fucking high as you want. And it's such a beautiful like metaphor for what she's trying to express. And I love that. I think that is amazing. Now, I'm not suggesting that everyone's castle needs to be built on a man. But the fact
it's not him. Maybe it's like the stability. If there was a healthy relationship... If you take the chunk and you just kind of set it over here,
yeah,
then you just look at the chunk and you're like, oh, it's like the relationship and the stability, and like he gives her space. Like, if you think of Broen, if Broen's like, you build your mountain castle thingy and I'm your mountain, just do it on top of me as high as you want, and I'd be like, yes, Broen.
See, but he wouldn't say that. He would say, like, you're fucking Fireheart. You're this. Like, you are the, like, creator.
But he doesn't.
Everything is born in fire. Like, I would just.
It's different. But that doesn't know her that well. And this is not a female empowerment book.
No.
Which, not saying that it's female, like, unempowerment, but that's not what I meant. But
it's not.
The way that I was thinking is, like, if Cassian said this to Nesta, at the lake where she falls apart, right? But her mountain isn't Cassian. Her mountain is her relationship with Cassian, the relationship with her sisters, her relationship with the Valkyries. All of that is her mountain. Mm-hmm. All of that is the base in which she wants to start building this life. And I think that's what I feel like is so beautiful about it. Because it is, you're building your castle, but your castle is your life. Your castle is your future. Your castle is, you know, you as a person. So again, don't build it solely on a man. Like, there needs to be more than that. But in general, I do really love this like super intimate scene where she's being very, very vulnerable. And he's essentially saying, I'm not going to abandon you and I'm going to be here for you.
I got you, boo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hate because you hate me.
Yeah, I don't know. I see that scene. I mean, I can respect that. But yeah, it would be nice if it was maybe just not all entirely on a man.
I mean, hear me out. What if she's not metaphorically building a castle on him? What if she's literally doing it?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right.
Here, honey, can you hold this brick?
Yep. That makes sense.
Can you hold this? You don't mind, right? You said you'd do it.
Right.
That's a completely different book. Where is that one? I need that fan fiction. Let's go.
Goofy.
So what surprised you guys the most?
That I finished the book. that it wasn't a DNF. There's not much to surprise me. The plot's pretty laid out. It's not a lot of twists. There's not a lot of turns. There's not a lot of, like, did this happen or did this not happen? There's not a lot of that.
I think the big plot point kind of startled me. I wasn't ready for it to be her friend.
Oh.
The 5 to 5 months to 5 years. I was like, what? And then it's her name. And I was like, I'm so confused. Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah, I thought for a second, like, what is that movie where it's like nobody talks to the little boy except for this one chick, and then he's dead the entire time and it's a ghost, and you're like,
Sixth Sense?
No, not Sixth Sense. It's like a little school for boys or something, and you maybe watch it. You're like, okay, pay very close attention. To the boy. And then it got to be like, well, the boy's dead. And I was like, no, people talk to the. And then I had to go back and watch it a second time. Like, no, mm-hmm. He may have been there, but that mm-hmm. chick's the only one that ever interacted with him because he's low-key a ghost and uh-huh. she's the only one that can see him. And I was like, so I was like, wait a minute. Oh,
that would have been so much cooler had she been a ghost or had she.
Yeah. I was like, no, they made out. So no, pretty sure people talked to her.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking for a split second when they were like, yeah, that's Jade. She's dead. And I was like, the whole time? And then, of course, then they're like, oh, yeah, no, they killed, like, the real Jade, and they just, like, became her or whatever. And I was like, okay, I mean, yeah, that makes more sense with everything we've written so far, but you know how fucking cool that would have been?
That would have been so cool. I'd be like,
That would have been a crazy payoff.
I just would have lost my purple mind. Mm. Just would have exploded. Oh, well. What surprised me the most... There were 3 words in this book that I did not know. I had to look up while I was reading. I was like, the fuck is that word? I've never seen that word before. Mm-hmm. In all of my 29 plus years of reading all of the things, my excessively large vocabulary, my thesaurus of a brain, not to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty amazing. And I have never seen these 3 words before. And I was like, okay, bringing new words to me. Thanks to you. All right, I will. on page 150 in the middle, supine. I mean, context clues, I understand what it means, but I looked it up anyways, just for funsies, because I like doing that. I'm just laying on one's back, supine. I was like, oh, I have never heard of that word before. Supine. Cool. All right. And then on page 266, frisson. A brief moment of emotional excitement and or a thrill. And I was like, I don't know what that word is. Oh, that's so nice. I love reading things where I don't know the words. And then on 374, the last one, tremulous. It's with tremors. Like, I know what these things mean with context clues.
Right.
But, like, I have never seen that word. And I was like, that's amazing. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I love words. Words are so great. And then I got three new words.
I love you so much.
So happy.
I love you too.
Tremulous.
I love that. I just feel like, I mean, it's always nice to take those little things out of like the stories in general. I just feel like some of the writing was so bad that it almost like undermines any of that. Like,
because
don't
while
take my words from me,
I will. For every big word we used, he had a nice Adam's apple.
Yeah, or it's like the one that like fucked me up was when they were describing one of her classes. Dr. Carey is one of our scariest professors in the semester, period. He had down-tilted dark eyes and a fierce white beard, comma, and he was strict, period. One time a girl got late to class, and he made her stand outside in the corridor in full view until she had gone red in the face from humiliation, period. Students were scared to ask him a question, period. But didn't end there, period. He also seemed to enjoy looking at the young girls too much in the class, comma, all 18-year-old first years except an older Corvina. That's it. Maybe. Listen, if you can listen to me say that paragraph and out loud and you're like, doesn't bother me at all, read the book.
Maybe it was speech to text writing. Because that's how we talk.
Maybe. But it didn't end there, period. Right. Okay, cool. Okay.
It didn't end, period. There, period.
Like, ugh.
And then you gotta
throw in a da da da.
Now that pisses me off for the author, because the Bramble is the publication company. That is not a small company, mm-hmm. Which is one reason why this AI art was so frustrating.
How annoying!
Yeah, I hated it.
But at the same time, there was no reason why they couldn't have run this through at least one or two editors before they republished it. No, there's no reason.
No,
there's no reason for that. You know, this big company, you couldn't have had one person try to sit down and proofread it. Now, somebody at that publishing company had to have read the book and said, we want to pick this up.
Good enough for me.
That person should have been like, yeah, we'll hook you up with like an editor and we'll, you know, polish it up a little bit and we'll do the thing. I feel like that would have circumvented so many things.
Yeah.
Because this is like
plot holes and so many of these little dumb.
Because there's such, if you're the author, I can understand where maybe like you might get tunnel vision with your own product.
Yeah.
Right. But someone else reading it, this is obvious things. You know, like any editor should have been able to look at this and to pick those things out and to discuss them with the author. And that's who I have the big issue with. And I will call that person out because I don't think that's totally the author's fault. And whoever edited this book, I hate you specifically because you failed this author and you should really consider a different job because that's not okay.
Do you think that it's possible that the AI was extended beyond this cover and made its way into the writing? And that's why I found three words that I had never met before in all of my many, 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 many books?
No, because even AI does semi more complicated writing.
Yeah.
I would almost, yeah, someone had to give like this like a very quick pass. I don't believe that in that case it was used for the editing. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe. We'll see. But
maybe like a spell check this. Maybe something like that.
It was given a very quick edit.
Yeah.
I can't even say that this is like the three words that I had never met before. I can't even say that it is like the product of someone taking a thesaurus and beating the book with it, because it's only those three words. They're not next to each other, and it's not like a weird jumbly thing. Or I feel like anybody who has written a college essay who needs to meet a word count, you know, we've done it before. Sure. We're like, all right, what is a different way of saying it?
Can't speak for personal.
Cusco's poison, the poison for Cusco.
Right.
Cusco's poison specifically made for Cusco.
Right.
Yeah. And then if you want to just like plagiarize something, you just change literally all of the words to mean the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. No, I've never done that. I'm saying.
Right, me either.
That's not what this looked like.
Definitely not a high school student kind of thing to do.
Right.
So, moving along, did you guys have a favorite character?
No.
Yes.
If you say the dog, you are fired.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I meant. No.
Mo?
Okay, I guess.
just for interrupting the sex, just for that alone.
None of the characters are developed enough to like have a favorite. Even like Jade and like this crazy like connection, like whatever. This like even her shit is like, because I love an evil baddie. Even her stuff isn't like interesting or important enough to like linger in my brain any longer than this conversation.
You know? Do you guys have a least favorite then?
Vad.
Our Vaddy.
First of all, fuck you for naming the character Vad, bro. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that was a weird, it's a weird name.
At least say Vlad, which I also would have hated, but Vad is like, it means untamed. Girl, okay, anyway. That's fine, I guess. Not very hot, not very sexy, not very fun. So I did not love his whole personality. Did not love the sleeping with random people, the students, didn't love that. Didn't love a lot. Didn't love the fact that he was like, yeah, I'm like rich as fuck now, but don't worry, I was like really poor once, so I'm like really humble about it. Okay, cool. Like, nothing about him I liked. Like, just the fact that he maybe killed his grandfather, cool. That's about
it. Oh, no, he didn't.
Well, yeah, but they had that interest for a minute. And I was like, ooh.
Was it interesting, though?
No. I don't really, like, the whole Slayer shit was very cringy. Good bones, maybe in that section, but also just cringe.
Yeah, I think too much of it was, like, not enough of it was, like, mysterious. For the Slayer thing, like, too much of it was cemented. They're like, yes, we know that there were this many people who did this bad thing. And then there were this many people who went and fucked them up. And then they all died. We know their names. We know the number. We know this happened. This on this day at this time at this place. And then we call them the Slayers, which, if ever there was a time for you to discover a thesaurus, honey.
That we called them the Slayers, bitch.
That would have been a thesaurus moment. But they can't even be like, what happened to the people? Oh, we don't know. Like, I would have liked at least a little bit of mystery.
Well, she got too excited. She had to just give away everything.
Like at the very end, whenever there's a whole new, like, little culvert, and he's all like, oh my god, there's more dead people. And I was like, ooh, the dead people. Who are these dead people? Where do they come from? A laughing person. I'm here for it. I don't know what this is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I obsess anyways. Give my brain something to chew on.
Oh my god.
But then I feel like they're just going to be like, oh, it's Dave.
It's Dave.
Culvert dwelling groundskeeper.
Right. What about you, Shuttle?
Oh, I'm so sorry. They're the same person for me. My favorite and least favorite.
Don't roll your eyes. I saw that. I do not.
It's like a dog?
I will tell you first, I do not like Corvina at all.
Okay, cool.
Do not enjoy her whatsoever.
Agree.
But that's just because I just don't think that, I feel like I'm very female empowerment. Like, that's what moves me as far as a female character. And I just feel like that wasn't here. And I feel like that's why I don't like it. But I don't know what the color red is. And that is evidenced by one of my favorite books being Haunting Adeline. Now, that is both my favorite and my unfavorite. Okay, but hold on.
My eyes yes. have seen the back of my skull just now, but that's fine.
Yes, there are cringy parts that I hate so much. And I know that there are a lot of places that I'm like, bro, that's not okay. However, I think that is the author's writing and not the character's fault. Can't fault the character for the author making his decisions.
Yes, I can.
I feel like I can.
There's a TikTok for that where the girl like
I feel like I can, actually.
I love that he got her a dress and he like did that whole thing. That was adorable. What's wrong with the dress? What's wrong with the dress? It was cute.
Go ahead.
Listen,
a lot with that scene. The ring. You're 28 years old, 29 years old. You have bajillions of dollars and you're giving a girl a promise ring. This whole, like, the dress reminds. Maybe if the dress was a cute gesture, sure. It reminds me of your eye color when you're fucking coming. Girl, shut the fuck up.
A dress. Thank you.
Also, like, very weird that the school was the one doing measurements and these dresses. Like, ew, what? Why are they doing that?
I feel like that's the behind the scenes of Harry Potter that nobody got. So, just saying. Putting that out there.
All right.
This is adult Harry Potter.
No.
I actually tagged a section where she went into really deep explanation of what everything looks like. And I reread it. And I was like, my note actually says, I don't fucking know what any of this shit looks like. In my brain, it's Hogwarts. Moving on.
Yeah, there's a moment in one of the descriptions where she says something along the lines of, like, I forgot whatever that gothic thing is called, that piece of architecture. Anyway. Okay. Sorry. What else about Vad? What else?
Okay, so I think the part that really did it for me, though, was the end. You have this person who grew up in poverty, so they know what it's like to not have things like food and a house because it burned down and family and all of that. And he murdered his grandfather when he found out that he did the bad stuff. So that was like a really good moral decision. Murder, go murder in that case.
Ooh.
No, I'm sorry. I loved that. I was
go murder. Yay.
That was a green flag for me.
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in that for now. Go ahead.
You don't like murder. Got it.
I love that he's trying to right the wrong of his family. Love that.
Uh-huh.
He's easily 6'4". He's a homeowner.
Oh my god.
Through murder.
I mean, technically he's a school owner.
If anything, he's a homeowner through murder. And that man had the audacity to say that he's too rich to get in trouble for murder.
I mean, listen, he's got if you're going to do something bad, at least have the police in your pocket. That's all I'm going to say. He's unbelievably wealthy, which is very attractive in a book boyfriend. Okay? Think like Reese. Okay. But he's willing to give all of that away to make sure that he supports her for the doctor at the end and her mom. Now, I'm not saying that all of the other things were not great. If he just duct tape his mouth shut and stop saying all the weird shit, that would be great.
Oh, yeah. No weird things.
No cringy things. But the actions, I love his actions.
Murder. Sleeping with multiple students.
I love most of his actions.
Okay. Right.
Smoking.
That's fine.
ew.
I mean, it doesn't blame me either way.
That's not a deal breaker for me.
Oh, it is absolutely a deal breaker
for me. In a book boyfriend? No, sorry.
It's one of the few things I can smell. That shit ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah. Rona.
I'll be honest. He's not my book boyfriend. I will just say that.
I'm not suggesting he's my book boyfriend.
He's a little bit of a fuckboy.
But is that totally out of the realm for me? I don't believe it is. I'm thinking back to Den of Vipers. Like, let's just talk about the red flags that I found for Green. Just saying this one's not totally off the mark.
I don't know what's going on there.
don't come for my Den of Vipers, okay?
Diesel and Garrett are amazing.
You leave my crazy man alone.
I just feel like we would look at a sunset together and you'd be like, wow, what a beautiful green sunset. There's red. It's everywhere. Look around. So many shades.
Yeah, pretty much.
But like, fair. We all have our problematic faves, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Like you with Asriel.
Okay, re-gifting a necklace. What?
Ring-gifting is a sin. It is a mortal sin.
I would much rather have a man who's confused about the elements of romantic gift-giving than, like, maybe a murderer creep who's, like, sleeping with, like, multiple students and, like, I'm
totally fine with murder. That's
on the table.
Murder is on the table. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm not saying it's. I don't not mind on
that
the table.
He murdered his grandfather. I just wish that he had waited until after they had gone to like trial and gotten closure for the families first.
Yeah,
then shove him down the stairs,
or at least be like, "Yeah, I killed that guy," and then like I anonymously reached out to all the families affected and paid for everything ever for their whole lives.
Okay, yeah. I'm just saying in my mind he already did that.
In your mind,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
in his pocketbook.
Right.
Well, you don't know that.
He's really busy buying cars to fuck his students in. He can't just be affording to support families.
That was probably a company vehicle, let's be honest.
Oh, he owns a company!
That's not better!
He owns a company! Bro,
like, please. It could have been a school bus, okay? It could have been.
He didn't even drag the lake where, like, these murders took place, like, right next to. He didn't even...
In his defense, he didn't own the school at that point. He did the original stuff.
He didn't even check.
But he did own it for how long?
2 years. Right. I don't know.
It was definitely longer than
that. It's not stated. I don't know.
86 years.
Oh, God. Well, that's fine. You know what? We have our problematic faves. I get it. Do we have a theme?
No. We don't know what we are, so no.
The theme is like the gray area between writing spirituality and like psychosis, I guess.
The theme is Purple needs more murder mysteries.
And you need them to be solved.
I want horror romance. Is that a thing?
Yes. Yes. And we can find that for us.
I want that. I want to be terrified and then they also have sex, but like not the kind of horror where like they have sex and then both inevitably get murdered. I don't want that one.
Yeah, you want the only murdering to happen be them murdering that pussy. Right.
Wow.
No.
Right. Got it.
But also, yes.
But also, yeah. I wouldn't mind a murder mystery. I just
need another one. Because
yeah, I mean, this is like barely a fucking mystery. Actually, it is a mystery, I guess. And the author doesn't even know. The author doesn't even know. Can we talk about how we got to the ending and they're like, damn, I never figured out like why people went missing. I never figured out like why this happened.
Who's the little boy?
Like, it just falls apart. Like, the author just, like, didn't know how to finish the book. Or, like, they had no resolution for certain things. It's just super underdeveloped. And, like, they didn't even know the answers to their own questions that they're bringing up while they're writing.
Biggest plot hole of the whole ending. Nobody knows why that chick ended up in the lake.
Nope.
We don't discuss it. We don't talk about it. We don't mention it.
Nope.
Nobody was with her.
Nope.
We have no idea. But neither does she.
Yep.
Sorry, man. That was me.
Like, what in the hell?
I was mad that they didn't do the orgy.
You know, she could have just had it been
Jade that went missing, and the plot would have been exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like why the other girl? Why you gotta do that?
It goes from climactic scene to epilogue and then title jump and done.
Well, because they talk about how there's a deeper big bad thing going on. Like, this was just surface level history stuff's tying up loose ends. There's actually a big evil thingy, Mababi, and happening on the mountain.
And nobody cares that, like,
it's fine.
No. She's just over it. There's just so many threads that are just, like, abandoned, and there's no resolution, and it's just, like, they just... How do you not have answers to the questions you made yourselves?
Maybe that's they do, and they just put it in the next book.
Well, then, there's a way to do that that isn't like, damn, I guess I never really figured that out. Anyway.
I think the author knows, and Corvina does not.
I don't think she does. I think she's like, fuck it, I'll figure it out next book. I'm chilling. Whatever. I identify with no one. They all suck. I identify with Erica, who is literally just supposed to be there to be like, girl.
Girl. That was infuriating.
Girl. Shut up. Don't write her like that. Do not write POC characters like this. God.
I will say the characters I most identified with were birds, because I make friends with people who feed me. So.
Oh my God.
Do you eat bananas? I would have to say I identified with Corvina in one very small moment. It is on page 358, near the top. She's at the top of the building, and Lady gonna be like, you should walk off the building. And then she'd be like, yeah, she gonna join the birds and fly. And she says in her brain hole, her time for the dance with death was coming, and Corvina didn't want it. She had to go see her mother one more time. She had to get herself a dog, a family. The main thing she wanted was a pet.
She wanted a life.
No, she wanted to see her mom, and then she wanted a dog.
Because that's part of the white picket fence dream that she had for herself.
Let me have my
aunt. And I get a husky? Like, that's not very goth of you, but fine.
What dog is goth? I'm just curious.
No, hold on. If anything, there's a lot of elements that we could go into. You're going to get a dog with white hair. When you and your man are always in your black little outfits. But like, get a Sholo. Get something cool. Get something interesting. A
Sholo?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's like one of those like hairless ones. Get something like
They're going to get a golden retriever.
Like, be stereotypical. Get like a black lab or something. Get fucking anything that's interesting.
No, get the big wrinkly ones. I love them with the wrinkles and so many. Just like,
or why do you tell breed? You don't even have to.
Yeah, we have a dog named Count. Slay.
All right. Only if they spelled it with a K.
Why?
No. K-U-N-T. Count.
The character I most want to lecture right now is Purple.
Yes. That's right. I would love to lecture Van. And just explain to him how to properly talk to women.
Dye your hair. Good.
Yeah. That's what I would.
Yeah, I think telling him how to like talk to women, maybe just like not assume mental illness is fixable through like just having someone by you. That's a little
penis. Weird.
Yeah. Don't have a magic dick. Sorry. I know you play the piano really good, but unfortunately it doesn't translate to anything.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I actually did cut my arm off once, and my husband played the fiddle.
Oh.
Fixed it immediately.
Wow.
Now that's a man.
Yeah.
Did he fuck you at the same time?
No, his name is Tamlin.
Oh.
You're done.
He is a dick.
You're done.
Got it.
Okay.
I would most like to lecture Corvina for one specific thing. There are the last pieces of the book that I want to bring to your attention that pissed me the fuck off.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Where I wanted to throw the goddamn book.
Oh.
The first thing is on page 218. Okay. That is, if you're keeping track, roughly halfway through the goddamn book. It took us halfway through the book for her to pick up a motherfucking lantern. And then she immediately throws it on page 227. Her heart drumming insistently, Corvina threw the lantern on the ground to distract him. She sacrificed her lantern for bad tree sexy time. And then, I'm not done, the last piece on page 250, about halfway down, she's upset that she doesn't have a lantern. Without a lantern or moonlight to guide her. And I'm like, girl, you fucking... Fine. You know what? You want to throw it in the heat of passion? Fine. Pick that goddamn thing back up. I swear to everything. You...
Yeah.
She's like, I'll have a little candle. It'll be fine until it's windy. What? It's windy?
Oh, no.
I wish I had a lantern right now.
And then it pops, and I looked it up. I didn't pull it out specifically for... But there are mentions of there being lanterns, like, in the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
All of the hallways. At the entrances, other people grab lanterns. Like, girl.
If only.
And she's like, oh, I'm going to grab a... Oh, I wish I had a lantern. Bitch.
Okay, I do feel how that is infuriating, but can we not lecture Jade? Or not Jade?
Well, I mean, I feel like that goes without saying.
You're her grandparent. Herself. You want to fuck that man?
She's crazy. She's crazy. Cousin. It's fine.
Like, not even, like, a second, third, fourth. Like, that's your first cousin. Like, that's just, like, that's a little
she's
too close.
She's about to be crazy.
Like, it's worse than Credence somehow.
Oh.
Because they're not blood related to her. It's just problematic. That man is her actual cousin. They share a grandparent. Like,
listen, if you murdered for me, Blue, that would be pretty amazing.
Well,
that's what I'm gonna need you to do.
Okay, that's fine, but we're not cousins, so that's I would.
We could be.
No, hell no.
I'm kidding.
Goofy, some keep it in the family ass shit, bro. Like, girl,
yeah,
incest.
It's fine. It's fine.
So
keep incest out of my books. Keep incest out of my books, please, please. I don't ask for much.
I just want them to cover pick up art. A goddamn lantern and keep it.
Just I cover art that's not plagiarized.
Pay an author and like pay an editor, actually. Pay an editor, pay an artist.
Pay a good editor.
Like don't fuck
But again,
around.
I think that's Bramble, though. That's not her.
I mean,
use
sure.
Use Google.
But like even the art, I don't know. I'd be pissed as an author if I was like, okay, when are we going to go find like an artist to do this cover art? And they're like, I actually had a Microsoft Copilot make me one. Huh? Huh? Like, to insinuate that people don't buy books for the art is, like, actually insane.
It's like, literally the only reason why I picked it up. It's
yeah,
a gorgeous book.
I got the hard copy. Because
I got one in my closet right now.
Like, I'm returning this shit. No, thank you. Sorry.
All right. Predictions? I don't think it's a series.
People gonna get got.
Will we ever find out the truth? I'm not
and then
even
they'll
interested
be like,
enough to care.
Damn.
Hope they figure out why everyone's leaving at everyone's get kidnaps every so often, every 5 years or so. Hope we figure that out, I guess.
I want to know what happened at the orgy.
No. That won't be revealed.
I have a prediction, and my prediction is that you guys are just going to roll your eyes and be really upset. Or bay of the day.
Well, first of all, I would like to defend my decision with saying there's not a lot of options.
You could pick the tree.
Hold on.
There are not a lot of options.
The crows.
With what I have been given, I would like to first say possibly the brother, because that could have been really hot. But since it didn't go that route, it is bad. I'm sorry. Sorry.
The lady at the post office.
She's like 70 years old.
Okay, and she's slaying. Never mind.
Actually, she's a fatty.
The slayers, actually, that's yeah. Probably dramatic for me to say.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, sorry, queen. Sorry. Yeah, I guess you don't have a lot of options. So, I mean,
really don't.
That's still bad, though.
What about Mo?
We don't really even know who and or what that is.
Okay, but we know the most important thing.
The
that
most
she thinks
important
about during sex?
That he interrupted the sex to say, no, he's a good guy, I promise.
All right,
okay.
Listen.
While obviously problematic and not perfect and definitely not ranking higher than a lot of other bays, with what is given, it is bad.
This Vatty ain't gonna do very well in the Battle of the Bays.
No.
No, he is bottom
no,
tier.
No, he will not. But he's there, and that is the best that I can do.
All right.
You know what? That's fair, but I'm not going to make the people listen to any more of this. I'm going to go ahead and say that we thank you guys for listening. This, of course, has been Smutty Scriptures reading Gothicana? Gothicana? Did we ever come to a consensus on that? But either way, we did a complete read of this book. That's all I can say about it. Next episode, we are going to dive into something I'm really excited about. We're going to be doing some monster romance, finally. You guys know, any long-term listeners have known that I have wanted that for how long? So we are reading the book Ensnared. I'm really excited about that. We're going to be doing another complete read. But keep updated on that and see when we are posting episodes as you follow us on all our socials. We are Smutty Scriptures Instagram. We got a TikTok. We got a Patreon even. We got an Etsy now. We're making merch for some of these books. So we're having a good time. And of course, best special shout out to Cuddle and Purple for putting so much work into all of the social media fun. So follow them. Their hard work needs to listen. I wanted to pay off for them. They're putting in a lot of work and they deserve the recognition. Okay, go ahead and follow, because you know you want more episodes anyway. But that being said, thank you guys for listening, and church is adjourned.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, something like that.
Caca.
Oh,
why did he throw the goddamn lantern, like, bitch?
Oh my god, the light is
low. I'm not...